Howdy do, buggaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. Today is Friday. Much like you, I have no idea how it happened either. This is September 18th, 2020. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, it's Friday. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Also with me today, I have Jeff Butts. Hi, Jeff.
Greetings and salutations. So happy to be here.
I'm glad both of you are here. Now, as many of you may have guessed, since I told you it was Friday and Andrew is here, we have some Security Friday news and updates for you to discuss. So, Andrew, take it away.
Yeah, so our top story of the week, Facebook still exists.
And in fact, guess what's happening in a little more than a week on Facebook? They're going to allow themselves to tear down your content or whatever information you might post if they decide they need to save their own behinds.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
That sounds completely reasonable.
Oh, yeah, of course. It says, according to what I received, effective October 1st, 2020, Section 3.2 of our Terms of Service will be updated to include: we also can remove or restrict access to your content, services, or information if we determine that doing so is reasonably necessary to avoid or mitigate adverse legal or regulatory impacts to Facebook.
So in English, what they're saying is, if it gets us out of trouble, we will sell you down the river?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I was getting from that.
One rumor says that it's because of a while back, Facebook threatened to block Australian publishers from sharing news stories because of an Australian law that requires Facebook to compensate media organizations for its use of their stories.
Uh-huh. Okay. That makes a little more sense. I can see where that's coming from. Yeah.
Yeah, but really,
do I like it? No.
About.
Is it a terrible thing to do? Yes. Do I totally get why Facebook's doing it? Of course I do.
Yeah. Yep. But
all right.
You know, there you have it.
Good to know. All right. So that's one bit of Facebook related news. But we also have another Facebook adjacent piece of news, if I'm not mistaken. Right, Andrew?
Yes. So Instagram, which Facebook owns, Facebook has been accused of spying on people's cameras through Instagram because there's a feature in iOS 14 that we may have actually not talked about that often, but it will, I think it's both for the camera and microphone. Mm-hmm. If either of those have been accessed recently, you will see a little notification light in the notification, what do you call it, the menu bar up at the top, but then also in control center, and it will say it's like Facebook or Instagram recently accessed your camera.
Yeah,
you'll see a little, I believe it's green if it's currently using your camera, amber if it's recently used it.
If it has. Okay, so this is similar to the little arrow we have grown accustomed to for location data. Something has used your location recently. Here's a little indicator of that. Okay.
Yeah, and
it's
in the same general place too. I noticed it when I was running the beta. Didn't think much of it, but then I did drop a mention to it on my list of iOS 14 features in my article after the keynote.
Excellent. So now Instagram, of course, is saying that's not what's really happening, right?
Yeah, they're calling it a bug, and they say they will correct it.
Uh-huh. My shocked face. Let me show you it.
And now... I know, Kelly, that you and others are staunchly anti-Facebook in a lot of ways, and I am too in some ways, but this really doesn't surprise me, because what Apple did in iOS 14 was they put a hook into the camera code so that whenever an app accesses the camera API, it triggers that notification. So if Instagram is automatically hooking into the camera API to speed up access to the camera when you need to take a picture, that would trigger that notification.
that's fine. But
if you look at it, if you look at it from a pragmatic point of view, it's mm-hmm. not necessarily an invasion of your privacy like some people would want to assume.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Not naming any names here. Kelly.
Uh-huh.
Sorry. Had a frog in my throat.
Uh-huh. You're just saying that because my last name is French, aren't you?
Ah, mais oui.
Anyway, well, so let's talk about Facebook just for a second, because the reason I am anti-Facebook is not because I'm anti what they're doing. I'm anti how they go about it, because they go around like we're the good guys and we're being nice and we're being good, and they're selling all your data out the back door. Now, if they just came out up front and said, we're selling all your data right out the back door.
Right.
And everybody knew, and they were like upfront about this is what we're doing. We're doing it because we give this to people for free and this is how we make money. And they just said that, I'd be totally cool with them. I would still be making the decision to basically not be on Facebook. But at least it would be the same playing field for everybody and not, you know, everyone's mom and everyone's mom's friends being on there creating groups and sharing data and acting like everything is fine because they think everything is fine because Facebook is just giving this out of the goodness of their hearts because not everybody's as informed. So I just wish that everyone had the same amount of information. And then at that point, if you want to delete your Facebook account, fine. If you don't, at least you're going forward with all the information that you have to continue using it. And it's really just that Facebook is trying their very best to make it really hard to make that informed decision, and that's what I don't like about them. So,
absolutely. I mean, the Facebook's privacy policies and all of the changes that have happened to the privacy policies over the years really makes the darn thing more confusing than our current tax code.
Exactly. And that's not great.
No.
So, that's the deal with Facebook. And now we actually have... in other sort of, I wish we could come on a Friday and go, yeah, we got nothing. We have a data breach to talk to everyone about today.
Oh, goody.
Yeah. Yes. Take it away, Andrew.
Razer, a company pretty much well known or most known for their gaming hardware.
Yeah.
In August, a security researcher, I'm not even going to bother trying to pronounce his name.
But a security researcher discovered...
He found a server owned by Razer that was it didn't have a password or it was misconfigured in some way, and it had the data of over 100,000 users, and he informed them, but they kind of like which website wrote this up? Okay, Ars Technica. So they said apparently support reps just kind of like bounced his query around for 3 weeks until they finally got around to fix it.
Oh my gosh.
So here's what was leaked.
What in the unholy functionality?
Yeah. Records of customer orders that included information such as items purchased, email, physical addresses, phone numbers. So basically everything, but not credit card numbers. Okay. So I guess that's one good thing.
Yay.
Unless those credit card numbers have been leaked in another data breach without that information.
Right.
And then you've just basically given the dark web marketplace a new Foles to sell.
Right.
And so that's completely possible because Ars writes that not only was this server exposed to the public, it was indexed by public search engines.
Oh, wow. Even better. That's spectacular, awesome. Even from a data breach perspective. And we've talked about at least more than our share, if not well more than our share. And so that is particular to this. I'm almost impressed. I kind of feel like, I feel a little bit like that Anchorman gif. Like, I'm not even mad. I'm just impressed.
I mean, that's so epic a fail, it's almost a win.
It almost comes all the way around. So
yeah.
Fabulous. So if you've purchased anything from Razer, I know them. I'm not a gamer, but I know them for hardware that they make. Like, you can buy interesting keyboards and interesting mice from them that are tuned in a particular way to make it funner to play games, I guess. That's what I know them for. So if you've purchased anything from them, Razer is the name of the company, you might want to go update some data someplace. So
yeah,
Excellent. Now,
change those passwords.
Use a password manager, as we frequently like to say.
Yes.
Let us take a moment to beat the password manager drum, because a lot of password managers will also store credit card information, so you don't have to leave that on file with the company. And that's also really nice. So, one day we'll dig into like the credit card aspect of all of that. But right now, we have one tiny bit more piece of Security Friday information, and that is iCloud data and law enforcement and rioters.
Yes. So, as it turns out, I don't know how recent this was, but Apple was able to give the FBI access to this rioter's iCloud account. He was accused of setting police cars on fire in Seattle this summer. And Apple was able to give the name, email, phone number, and residential address when they got a subpoena. And after that, the FBI was able to get access of the contents of his account, which is... So here's why I wanted to... mention this. So this is different than when the FBI wanted Apple to build a backdoor into iPhones.
Right.
Without something like that, Apple can't access. If you have, like, I don't know, what is it, iOS 9 or later? I think 9 was when they introduced encryption.
I want to say it's 9, yeah.
Yeah. So if you have that or later, Apple can't access your device at all. But iCloud is different because that is, you know, of course, on their servers.
Right.
When you turn iCloud backup on, for example, you can, it is secured and encrypted with your password, but it's not end-to-end encrypted, which means that Apple, a copy of your encryption key is stored in the cloud along with your data. In the event that if you forget your password, Apple, under certain circumstances, can still help you recover it.
Right.
So it's different. If they're served with a lawful subpoena, then they can share your data.
Right. So, and that's, I think this is an important distinction. This is not any information on this person's device, because that's the other thing that we've seen is the FBI wants into a phone. And so that's part of where the backdoor that Andrew mentioned comes from is, you know, we want a backdoor into iOS so that we can get into everybody's physical devices, not just so that we can get into their iCloud account. Number one. Number two, this was, we went through all the regular channels in order to subpoena data about a person. And if this rioter had had an Android device, they would have submitted the exact same set of information to Google and probably gotten the similar access to the account the person has, not necessarily any data on their device. I'm not sure anymore what the Android stance is on that stuff. I don't know how that works. So, in any case, that's part of why we're talking about it, is because this is a different situation than the FBI just wants into your phone. This is actually into the iCloud account, which is a little different. And so this is a reason why you should be updating your phone if you have something that runs iOS 9. We should really talk to you about getting a new device, but updates are important. And the reason we want to mention that updates are important is because there's another update out, and that is to Safari.
Yes.
So Safari, I believe it's 14.0 is available now. And Safari 14 includes some security measures that we've talked about here when we've talked about running betas and things. And it also includes some other kind of layout information. Like, I think tabs are a bit different. And the page that you see if you don't have it automatically load a homepage, that sort of empty page that when you open a new tab in Safari, that new tab can be customized a little differently, and you have more options available to you there, I think.
Right. You can put your own background on it. You can add your own links. So basically create your own custom homepage.
Right. And it's definitely worth spending a few minutes to do that if that's a thing that you do. And you can, because you can add weather and I think news headlines or something, like, as well as a background. So you can have that sort of give you the dashboard for your day before you start into.
Here's a Security Friday hint about Safari 14. Remove support for Adobe Flash. Why is that even still around?
Well, because I believe Adobe committed to it. No, I believe Adobe committed to it through the end of 2020. Yeah. So of all the things that we get on January 1st, 2021, one of them is Flash's Tombstone, and I'm really excited. Well, it's not supported. This is going to be, you know.
Right.
You know, much like coronavirus, it's going to be around way after 2020. Even when we think we've finally conquered it, there will still be vestiges of it out there in the world that we're going to have to deal with. But
all I know is whenever I see those two words together, I feel like someone is trying to trephen me right between my eyes.
They might be.
And for those who don't know what trephining is, that's a very old-fashioned way of curing mental illness, which involves drilling a hole in your skull.
Yes, that's always basically fun. Flash. I believe the phrase I used for slowly dying Flash websites yesterday that amused Andrew very much was necrotizing flashyitis. So enjoy. There's a beautiful image for the rest of your day. Right, but the last thing we have to talk about is not security related at all. It's just really cool, and that is the new Apple Watch Series 6 has that is available officially as of today. If you are in a place where you can go to a store and pick one up, if you can get your hands on one, it comes with a new feature. One of the big new things that Series 6 does is called a pulse oximeter. And Jeff, I wanted to have you talk to us a little bit more about exactly what that is.
Man, this is so huge. So a pulse oximeter measures the oxygen saturation of your blood, which basically reflects how well the oxygen your lungs bring in is being transferred to your red blood cells.
Okay.
And then carried out to the rest of your body. So usually what you have to do is you have to have a little thing that clips on your fingertip, and right. it shines a red light through your skin. Mm-hmm. And then what's reflected back, the little device measures the oxygen saturation. With the Apple Watch Series 6, those red lights are built into the back of the watch alongside the ones that check your pulse.
Okay.
So it will actually check how well your oxygenated blood is being delivered through the body. So people with respiratory problems like asthma, COPD, COVID-19.
Yeah.
Bronchitis, pneumonia, they can keep an eye on how well their blood is carrying oxygen. I think this would also be good for people that wear their watch at night and mm-hmm. might have sleep apnea.
Yeah.
Because it would also be a reflection on how poorly their sleep apnea is acting.
Yeah.
I just thought about that last night as I was drifting off to sleep thinking about today's podcast.
Yeah, I think that's also very interesting. There are a lot of things that are tied to your respiratory system and getting oxygen mm-hmm. throughout your body that sometimes don't always get associated that way. So
right.
I'm very interested to see what kinds of things are what kinds of sort of chronic conditions are able to be better monitored now that you have this. And it's right in the back of the watch, which I think is very cool.
Yeah.
I have a Series 4 watch, as we've talked about this week, and I'm still really impressed with the ECG function, where mm-hmm. I hold still for a minute and I could just hold my finger on the crown and you know, be still for 30 seconds or whatever it is, and it gives me the report. And I love that. So
ECG or EKG?
ECG, it says.
I think it's both.
I think they're the same, but I'm not entirely sure. But they were very clear about it being an ECG when I set up the option to be able to do it on my watch. So you saw that in Series 6. It also does the pulse ox, the oximeter function for your blood, which I think is very, very cool. I'm really, particularly as you said, COVID-19 is something that sort of pressed this. And we made mention of it earlier on the show about earlier this week when we talked about the watches, how there are probably a number of features that were coming right in a future series, and maybe this mm-hmm. got bumped up a little bit, you know, as it became obvious that this was a thing that was very important. It also has the always on display and all the other stuff that you got in previous Apple Watches and the additional pulse ox. Yes, Andrew.
And
Speaking to that, I thought I had seen in the news that they're expressly marketing this blood oxygen sensor as a wellness feature as opposed to a medical feature, mm-hmm. unlike the ECG feature. And I think that is how they were able to get it out so quickly, because it didn't have to go through the FDA first.
Yeah, right. I think it had to have a certain amount of approval, because I can tell you, like, measuring your pulse is another thing that you can do with the Apple Watch. Like, you get the high and low heart rate warnings. Mm-hmm. And like, we saw the video with a number of people in it talking about how their watch gave them an alert about their heart rate. And when you set up those things, those are the things that it says is like, this is not medical. This is just an indicator. It's measuring as best it can. This isn't necessarily accurate. Yeah. You get a bunch of disclaimers when you set up any of the like deep down health monitor stuff. So I set it up like, yes, please sample my heart rate. And I want you to be able to do that. And you have to give it a bunch of permission, and it tells you what happens to your data, which I think is very cool as well. So there's a lot that goes into it. I'm interested if you are getting a Series 6 Apple Watch, or if this is a reason that you're getting a Series 6 Apple Watch, we definitely want to hear from you. You can get us at observations@macobserver.com. You can talk to us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. And I'm interested to see who's upgrading. I, at this moment, don't have a need for the Pulse Ox features, so my Series 4 is just going to continue to serve me very well right now.
As your air quality index is right now, I would think that you'd want that information.
Well, right now my air quality is only terrible because we had thunderstorms last night. Torrential rain made a big difference in the air quality where I live. I would like to know that perhaps on an ongoing basis, but unless I can find somebody that wants to pay me an exorbitant amount of money for my 4, I'm not getting a 6. Also, if you're out there and really want a Series 4 and have no interest in a 6, you can email observations@macobserver.com.
Yeah.
I'll even throw in a watch band or two for you if you want.
Aren't you sweet?
That's going to do it for us today. I want to thank both of you for being here. Andrew, as always, thanks for coming by with the Security Friday news.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and have a good weekend, everyone.
And Jeff, as always, it's a pleasure to have you here with us.
Always great to be here. Thanks, Kelly.
I am your host, Kelly Gamont. I also hope that you have an awesome weekend. In the meantime, I will talk to you Monday. Be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.